if we've done everything right at this moment, the client will say, no, my investments are with Edward Jones, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch. They'll just share with you where they have their investments. Now, the client in this moment is going to feel uncomfortable because they just shared with a banker where they have their investments.
Welcome to the Banking on Sales Success podcast. I'm your host, Brian Drake. After a decade-long journey working in the banking industry, I learned a lot about what works and what doesn't, and now I'm sharing those insights with you. If you've been in the banking industry for some time, you've probably realized that the majority of sales advice out there isn't built for us. Let's dive into the episode.
Welcome to episode 19 of Banking on Sales Success. Today, what we're talking about is how to uncover the assets that someone has outside the bank. Now, the key is about creating space where a client feels comfortable opening up to you about where else they're doing their banking and where they have their investments. So here's what I'm going to be sharing with you. I'm going to be sharing a clip from a recent coaching session I had with a banker. Now, during the session, I broke down this entire process for them step by step, so it was very clear to them exactly what it's going to take in order to be able to do this consistently and not just uncover their assets, but also get them onto the financial advisor's calendar once we find out where they're doing their banking and where they have their investments. So if this is something you've been struggling with, this episode is going to be worth a listen. Let's get into the clip.
If we're going to make a substantial stride this year, it's defining exactly what processes that we want to have structured. And then it's putting in the work to actually implement them. I'm going to give you an example as to what this is really going to take, right? Mm-hmm. Like when we've got a client who comes in and they don't have any money with the bank, and we see that they're three bubbles and we want to talk with them about outside accounts, this is what we need to be able to do. We need to be able to thank them for their relationship. But we don't just want to thank them for their relationship. We want to do it in a very genuine way. We don't want them to hear it. We want them to feel it. And the way we thank them is the same exact way we thank everybody else. It's the same words, said the same way, with the only change being the month and year they open their account. And that's just step one. And then step two is asking them about their experience banking with us. And it's asking the exact question the same way, with the tone of genuine curiosity, so the client feels like they're in the space of someone who actually wants to get to know them. And then step three is to show active listening and to respond and say, so it sounds like you started banking here because of XYZ reason. It sounds like these are the reasons why you like banking with us. Is that right? And it's important that our tone of voice sounds like we are someone who is genuinely just trying to get onto the same page with them. We're not just reciting back information as if it's fact. Like, okay, so it sounds like you moved here. Sounds like you like this reason and this reason. We don't sound like we're just spitting facts back at them. We want to sound like we are genuinely trying to get on the same page. We want them to feel like that's who they're in the presence of. And then we want to potentially ask a follow-up question based off of what they shared that is through the lens of genuine curiosity once again. Like they say that they moved here from out of state. It's like, well, you know, I am curious. What brought you over here? Like what was going on in your life in that time that brought you from where you were living to where you are now? And you actually feel like we care to learn, right? So we've asked a follow-up question. They share with us, this is why I moved from out of state. This is what's going on. Great. Then we find out where else they're doing their banking. And we want to make sure that we do not ask a direct question. Even though a client may be open to sharing with us, they will shut down emotionally. They no longer want to be in a conversation with you, but they are not going to say anything because they want to avoid conflict. So we want to ask in a way where they still want to be talking to us. And so we say something like, well, I am curious, how does your experience banking here at Chase compare to where else you're doing your banking? I mean, what have some of these other banks done right to get your attention and earn your business? Now, the key in that moment is to ask that exact question in that exact way. We don't change the words at all. We memorize that. Even the slightest change in how we ask that question can lead the client to feeling like they're not exactly sure how to respond. But asking the question that way just ensures that we're going to get the response we're looking for. the client shares with us that they're at a credit union and they're at Bank of America, and they share with us their backstory. The next step is to show active listening once again. So it sounds like, so from what I'm understanding, yada, yada, you're at these banks because of XYZ reason. Yes. Perfect. We're on the same page. Now we find out where they have their investments. Once again, we ask a very structured question that we ask in the exact same way each time. If you don't mind me asking, did you give any one of these banks the opportunity to manage your investment portfolio? If we've done everything right at this moment, the client will say, no, my investments are with Edward Jones, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch. They'll just share with you where they have their investments. Now, the client in this moment is going to feel uncomfortable because they just shared with a banker where they have their investments. And they're uncomfortable because they now feel like what's about to happen is that banker is going to ask them, how much money do you have in that account? When was the last time you met with your advisor? Would you be open to a secondary review? They are bracing for it. So we must disrupt that thought pattern by remaining curious. And we ask, what did that investment firm do right to earn the opportunity to take care of you and your family financially? They share with us their relationship they have with their advisor. They've been with them for 5 years. They're very confident what their advisor is doing. It's like, that is fantastic. And then we do active listening once again. So it sounds like you've been with this advisor for 5 years. They're taking good care of you and your family. Is that right? Yes. Perfect. Now we're on the same page. And now we've created space where we are now somebody the client can trust. We must not assume that the client actually will trust us unless we get to this point. And we cannot get to this point in a chaotic, unstructured, just go with the flow, try to talk with you genuinely sort of way. It doesn't work. And I think a part of you knows that because you have not achieved results that you know you're capable of. So we must get to this point in a very consistent way. And then once we get to this point, we can say, well, I am curious, like the plan you have in place, what is the ideal future lifestyle you're hoping that it funds for you someday? I mean, for me, I want to be able to travel the world twice a year. I want to be able to spend quality time with my family. I want to be able to buy an RV and go around the US. And I am curious, what is it for you? And you allow them to answer that question. They also want to travel. They want to go to sports games. They also want to spend time with their grandkids. Fantastic. Active listening once again. So it sounds like, then you recite back what they shared with you. Then the next step is to thank them for opening up. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to get to know you. You know, a little more as a Chase client, I truly enjoyed understanding what the reason was you started banking with us, hearing about your experience banking here. I appreciate you opening up to me about where else you're doing your banking, you know, where you're doing your investing, and opening up to me about your ideal future. So thank you so much. I enjoyed this. Client says, great. This was good for me too. Again, very structured. Now, get to the advisor recommendation. Hey, before you go, now that I'm clear about where in life you're looking to go, let me ask you a question. If my partner and I, who does represent JP Morgan, if we can meet with you and give you that reassurance and confidence that your current financial plan is on track to get you to that lifestyle where you're traveling twice a year, you're going to the sporting events, you're spending time with your grandkids, if we can give you reassurance of that, or if we can give you some advice to enhance the likelihood of financial success for you and your family, would you find that valuable and worth your time? We do our pitch, same pitch every time. Client says, yes, that actually sounds real good. Perfect. I'm going to recommend a meeting with my partner. What's your schedule typically looking like during the week? When for you would be an ideal day? Thursday at 3? Excellent. I'll pencil you in Thursday at 3. Now, before you go, because I want to save you some time and an additional trip to the bank, do you have access to your investment statements online? You do. Great. Let's go and get logged in real quick. Let's get those statements printed. I'll get them right over to my advisor. And what we'll do is we'll be fully prepared for this meeting on Thursday, and it will just make it even that much more worth your time. Perfect. Get the statements. Client leads. Now, that is only one structured process. that it's only for clients that have no money with the bank that are three bubbles, that we get onto the financial advisor's calendar. And to go from point A to point B, for you to be as structured as I am with something like that, is going to take hours and hours and hours of intentional practice and memorization. There's got to be very, very, very little variability in what you're doing in each step of the process. And on top of all of that, you're going to be met with objections. I already have the advisor. I need to think about it. Let me talk to my wife. I don't invest in the market. I only do CDs. The market's too uncomfortable for me to invest. I had a bad experience with JP Morgan before. They're going to give you a whole catalog of objections. Part of our responsibility is to make sure that we have a very structured response no matter what objection we're met with. You say this, I say this. You say this, I say this. It's the same exact thing. Again, low variability. Now that is only one single piece of the pie. Another piece is talking with a client who has a large balance. They already have 200,000. It's us saying, hey, thank you for this relationship. We know you can have this anywhere. Fantastic. Love that you have it with us. Hey, you know, I am curious. If this is the type of balance relationship you plan to keep with us long term, I'd love to talk with you about the CPC program. Now we enter into a conversation with them and we try to lead it into CPC. Then we build the structure around asking the three questions. What's most important to you? And then we have the exact structured response based off of what they say. And then we have the presentation on how we're going to get them on the calendar. And then we also know how to overcome any objection we're met with once we go down that path. If this is truly what you want, like if you have it deep in your soul that you want to do whatever it takes in order to succeed, then it's understanding in this moment that we cannot do this without spending a substantial amount of time every single day, every single week, until we get the processes down.